我们讲。
So Lord, we want to thank you for the privilege of being together again this evening.
我们感谢你又给我们这样的荣幸，能够又重新聚集在这里。
The fact is, Lord, that many of us have met frequently on Zoom and in church meetings, and we thank you for that privilege.
主啊，我们其中的很多人都频繁的在Zoom 上或者在教会聚会，我们为这样的荣幸感谢你。
We acknowledge that our Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
因为主曾经说过，人活着不是单靠食物，乃是靠神口里所出的一切话。
And just as we grow from repeatedly going to a table to eat, so we grow by repeatedly going to the Word of God in meetings or privately, but continually feeding on your word.
就像我们的肉体每个人长大的时候都要不断地回到餐桌前吃肉体的粮一样，我们的灵里面要长大，也要不断地回到主的话语中，那就是我们灵里的粮，这里来吸收来长大。
And so our prayer is, Lord, that this evening, as we study the Word of God, you will feed us the truth that we need to know that we might grow strong in our walk with the Lord.
主，我们今天晚上的祷告是，当我们今天晚上学习您的话语的时候，求您喂养我们，用您的真理来喂养我们，使我们能够长得足够强壮在您的里面。
So bless us, we pray, and direct Eric that he might speak your words for your blessing upon us.
主啊，祈求您今天祝福 Eric, 让他说您让他说的话。
And we give thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen.
我们这样的感恩是奉耶稣的名。Amen.
Well, greetings, each one, in the name of the Lord.
我奉主的名向大家问安。
We've been studying the church, which, as we know, is the body of Christ.
我们一直在学习教会这个主题，教会就是基督的身体。
And we see how that the universal church, made up of all true believers, is being built by none other than the Lord Jesus himself.
我们学习过普世教会呢，是由历史历代所有的真的信徒组成的。这个普世教会不是别人来建造的，是只有主自己在建造。
And we know that whatever God makes, it is perfect.
我们知道凡是主所造的都是完美的。
The last few weeks we've been looking at the local church.
在过去的几周呢，我们又学习了地方教会。
And we've seen how that the local church should be a miniature of the church universal.
地方教会呢，应该是这普世教会的一个缩影。
So the local church should not be anything or do anything which would contradict the great truths of the church, which is the body of Christ.
所以地方教会呢，不应该做任何与这普世教会的真理相违背的事情。
So if the local church, a little gathering of the saints of the Lord, must be a replica of the complete church, what are the great truths that it must provide a testimony to?
所以地方教会就是奉主的名聚集的一小群人，他们要成为这个完整的，就是这个完整的普世教会的代表，要把这个本来应该在普世教会所表达的真理把它表达出来。
We've looked at three of the truths. The first is that there is one body.
我们已经学习了地方教会所要见证的三个真理。第一个呢，就是身子只有一个。
So if there's one body of Christ, then the local church should reflect that grand truth.
那既然教会既然身子只有一个，那么地方教会也要见证这个伟大的真理。
How can believers today testify to this truth?
那今天的信徒如何来见证这个真理呢？
And one of the one of the things that we looked at was that we should not take any name to ourselves as a local church that would divide the body of Christ.
嗯，我们学到的第一点就是，我们给自己的聚会或者自己的地方教会取名的时候，不要取一个把我们和其他的圣徒分裂开的这样的名字。
So we should, because we only take those names which are given to us in the scripture.
嗯，因为我们只取着圣经里面给我们已经定好的这些名字。
Names such as believers.Or disciples.
嗯，比如说信徒、门徒。
The name Christian is one that does not divide the true church.
嗯，还有一个名字是基督徒，这些名字都不会把教会把这个教会和教会之间分开来。
And Paul and the other apostles sometimes address the local church as saints.
嗯。使徒呢有的时候也把这地方教会的信徒称为圣徒。
Saints meaning those that have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus.
嗯，圣徒呢就意味着这些人已经是被耶稣基督的血成圣了的人。
And another name of course is brothers or sisters or brethren.
还有一个名字呢就是弟兄们。
And so, that's one of the ways And we looked at other ways as well, but it's very difficult to maintain a narrow holding of the truth, yet at the same time embrace all true believers.
嗯，所以我们刚才讲到起名字是其中的一个方法，另外我们也讲到了其中的。还有其他的方法，但是我们必须承认呢，就是我们走在这个真理的中间呢是非常的难的，因为我们既要坚持真理，同时我们要有一颗敞开的心，爱所有的信徒。
To honor the Lord, the local church should separate themselves from all the divisions that are in the churches today.
那为了荣耀主的名呢，今天我们所有的信徒呢都应该与那些分裂教会的任何的做法都无干，都与他们分别出来。
Yet at the same time, we need to maintain a loving spirit toward all the people of God.
嗯，那同时呢，我们要对所有神的子民呢都要怀着一颗爱的心。
And we saw that unity can't be made by man.
我们也看到这样的合一啊，不是人能够做出来的。
The Holy Spirit is the one that has formed the unity through the baptism of the Spirit.
圣灵呢是在五旬节给教会受洗的那一刻呢，就已经做成了这教会的合一。
So there is a unity in the Spirit, and we are told just to keep that unity.
所以在圣灵里面已经有了这合而为一了，我们是被教导说要持守这合而为一的心。
Now the second great truth that we should give expression to as the local church is the headship of Christ.
嗯，我们学习的第二个真理就是地方教会要做见证的真理呢，就是基督是身子的头。
That is that Christ is the head of the body that.That seems like a very simple statement, but it's often lost sight of in practice.
嗯，所以这句话说起来很简单，就是教会是身体，基督是这个身体的头，但是在实践操作当中呢，却很多时候做的不对。
There should be no headquarters in another city or another part of the city. We look only to one head, and that is our.Lord Jesus Christ.
嗯，一个地方教会不能在别的城市或者别的地方有一个上级机构或者说一个总部，因为他指向他天上的头基督负责。
Now he's given to us his word.
嗯，那主也把他的话语赐给了我们。
Not only the word that he spoke when he was here and recorded by the gospelers.
嗯，他的话也不仅包括他在地上行走的这几年记载在福音书里面他说过的话。
But he told his disciples that when he would go away, he would guide the, he would send the Holy Spirit who would guide them into all truth.
因为他也告诉门徒，他以后要离开，他走了以后呢，会派圣灵来，真理的圣灵会带他们进入一切的真理。
So the New Testament scriptures are the guidance that the head has given to the local church to be able to function.
所以新约的圣经里面的所有的书信的内容，就是来指导这个教会该如何在地上行事的这样的指引。
So each little church, each little local expression of the body should be directly responsible to the head himself.
每一个地方教会，每一个小小的地方教会，他都直接向天上的元首基督负责。
Now last week we looked at a third of the great truths that we should give expression to.
上个星期呢，我们学习了地方教会要做的第三个见证。
And that is that all believers are members of the body.
那这个真理呢，就是每一个信徒都是身体的一个肢体。
And how does then the local assembly or local church, set forth this truth?
那么每个地方教会应该怎么做呢？来表现这个真理呢？
The question is, who do the local assembly receive into fellowship?
或者这个问题就变成地方教会应该把谁接纳进来成为他们团契的一员呢？
The general principle is that the local church should receive all those whom Christ has received to himself.
那这个问题的回答呢，一个总的原则就是，凡是基督所接纳的地方教会也接纳。
The basis of true fellowship is the fact that a person has already been received into the body of Christ, so he should be received into the local church.
因为一个人如果他要和信徒们形成真正的团契爱的关系的话，那他的前提是他必须已经是这个普世教会，就是基督身体的一部分了，也就是说他已经被基督接纳了。
So the local church can give expression to this fact by welcoming those that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior.
所以地方教会可以通过接受那些已经信靠耶稣基督成为他个人救主的那些人到自己当中来，通过这样的方式来体现这个真理。
Of course, when a church receives those into fellowship, they should be holy in life, as well as true believers.
即使是真的信徒呢，他们也要过圣洁的生活才能被接纳进来。
And they should not be under discipline from another assembly.
同时呢，他也那时候也不能处于被另外一个教会管教的期间。
So the basis of reception is on the basis of life, not of how much the person knows. They may be a very young believer and know very little, but they should be received with open arms by the assembly.
接纳一个人的这个基础呢，是看他有没有在基督里的新生命，而不是在乎呢他懂得多少知识。因为一个人他可能是初信徒，他什么都不懂，但是我们依然用敞开的怀抱来欢迎他。
Now, suppose a local church receives a person and they only attend very irregularly, or they never come back.
那假设呢一个人他是不是规律的来教会的，他有的时候来或者很长时间不来。
We should emphasize that to be received into fellowship means that the person that comes into fellowship, they must share the common life of that church. They become part of that family, that local family.
在这里呢，我们要强调一点，就是我们说一个人加入到了 地方教会中来，是说呢，他一定要参与到这个教会的共同生活中来，他就是这个家庭的成员了，是有紧密的关系的。
They should bear their load of responsibility and share the work along with the others.
那他们应该跟其他弟兄姐妹一起承担责任，一起分担工作。
And so, what about a person that is received into fellowship but never comes back?
那如果一个人已经被地方教会接纳了，但是他就再也不回来了，怎么办呢？
That person is responsible to the Lord himself.
那这个人呢，他要自己向主负责。
All the assembly is to do is to give a faithful spiritual representation of the church. And he is then, or she is obligated to be obedient to that truth.
那么地方教会的责任呢，就是活出神对教会所托付的真理，然后这个人的责任呢，是要顺服这教会的真理。
Now tonight I'd like to move on to another of those truths that the local assembly should give expression to.
那今天呢，我们学习另外一个地方教会需要表达出来的关于普世教会的真理。
That is, just as the body of Christ is holy, so the local church should be holy in life and practice.
那这个真理就是就像基督是圣洁的一样，那么地方教会也要在生命和这个实践当中都活出圣洁的生活来。
So, how can the local church then exhibit this holiness of character that is expected by the Lord?
那么地方教会该如何活出主所期待的这样的圣洁的品格呢？
Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3.
我们看看帖撒罗尼迦前书的四章三节。
For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor.
三节和四节啊，神的旨意就是要你们成为圣洁，远避淫行，要你们个人晓得怎样用圣洁尊贵守着自己的身体。
Now this is what's called practical sanctification or holiness of life.
我们管这个呢叫生活中的圣洁，或者是说在操作层面上的圣洁，操作层面上的成圣。
Now, when you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He makes you completely, He sanctifies you completely. That is, He establishes your righteousness on the basis of the shed blood of Christ.
当你接受耶稣基督作为你个人救主的时候呢，你在地位上耶稣就已经使你完全的成圣了，是因为他的宝血使你成为完全的圣洁。
God declares you completely righteous.
神是宣告你是完全的公义的。
And you are set apart by the Holy Spirit for glory.
你是被圣灵分别出来为了神的荣耀的。
But while we're on earth, we have the old nature within us.
但是呢，我们在还在地上的时候呢，我们里面依然有我们的犯罪的老我。
And so, what this practical sanctification means is that we are to set ourselves apart to the holiness of God.
所以这实践上的成圣呢，就意味着我们自己要把自己分别为圣出来。
We do that by identifying ourselves dead to sin and alive to God.
因为我们要把自己看作像罪是死的，像神是活的。
And when we encounter sin in our lives, we confess it and forsake it.
那一旦我们在生活中犯了罪呢，我们就要承认，并且要弃绝这个罪。
And so that's what Paul is saying to the Thessalonians. that they should, this is the will of God, your practical sanctification. Walk a holy life.
所以这里呢，就是保罗在对那个帖撒罗尼迦教会的信徒们所说的。他说，神的旨意就是要你们成为圣洁，要圣与神圣洁的同行。
So, this is why the truth of the church is not given in any specific place in the Bible. You won't find any isolated section where you get all the church truth.
嗯，这就是为什么我们在圣经里不是说看到一个单独的地方，然后特别的具体的把所有关于教会的真理都一次性的讲出来。
Instead, we find that the truth is found in many different places throughout the letters given to us by the apostles.
嗯，那与此相反呢，我们恰恰是在很多的书信当中，这里一点那里一点，看到很多地方都讲到关于教会的真理。
And then once you get some church truth, then you get interspersed with the practical instruction for holy Christian living.
所以你一旦看到讲到教会的真理的时候呢，我们一定要和基督徒自己如何过圣洁的生活这方面的教导联系起来。
So you don't just get a list of do's and don'ts.
所以你不会在圣经上找到一个清单，就是哪些你要做，哪些你不要做，找不到这样的清单。
But the Lord does not because the Lord does not simply want people who are outwardly correct in their church life, but those whose lives are testimonies to the truth in holy living.
因为神并不是期待一个在外表上，在他的这个外在的表现上一个完美的人，而是说他真的能够活出一个圣洁的生命来。
So, scriptures.
Yeah, you were frozen a little bit.
Find church truth.
Sorry, Eric, could you repeat that?
Yes. What we need is all the scriptures in order to get all the church truth.
所以我们需要的是读全部的圣经，才能得到完整的关于教会的真理。
And so then, for that purpose, the local church should provide a good diet of Bible teaching.
所以为了达到这个目的呢，教会呢必须能够做很好的教导，圣经的真理的教导。
Instead of just a verse here and a verse there and so on, there should be consecutive and systematic teaching of the Word of God.
所以这种很好的教导是指，不是今天这样的一句，明天讲那样一句，而是一个很成系统的，很主题突出的这样的一个教导。
So only in that way will the saints receive all the Word. And in the balance that God has given it.
就这样的方式呢，信徒才能够完整的吸收，而且是平衡的吸收圣经所教给我们的真理。
But now, even though you have good Bible teaching in an assembly, it prevents a lot of the problems of sin in the assembly.Yet, inevitably, every local church is going to run into some problems of sin within the assembly.
即使这个一个教会，地方教会呢，有很好的圣经教导，可以避免很多罪的发生，但是总是难以避免的一个教会总是会碰到罪的问题的。
Now, sin is a picture of leprosy.Or leprosy rather is a picture of sin.
圣经里呢是用大麻风来比喻罪的。
And if leprosy makes the individual unclean, so sin in a person will make that person unclean.
嗯，就像得大麻风的人会使这个得病的人变得不洁净一样，罪也会使这个犯罪的人变得不洁净。
And in the Old Testament, there was provision made for the priests to discover the leprosy in a person, and they would need to be put out of the assembly of Israel until such time as they were healed of their leprosy.
在旧约里面就规定祭司呢他有责任去发现谁有大麻风并且把这个人呢安放在这个营地之外直到他的大麻风得了医治以后他才能够回来。
So, if there is sin in the assembly, it can infect others as well.
那如果一个地方教会里面有罪呢它也会影响到别人。
That was the danger that was happening in the Corinthian assembly.
这就是哥林多教会呢所面临的危险。
Paul used the illustration of leaven. He said, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?
所以保罗呢在那里把罪比喻成酵他说你岂不知一点酵就能使全团发大吗
So whenever sin comes in to affect the peace of the assembly or its testimony, then action must be taken by the assembly.
那么一旦如果有罪进来了影响到这个教会的平安或者教会的见证的时候呢就必须要采取措施。
Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17.
我们翻到彼得前书的4章17节。
Where Peter says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel?
十七节，因为时候到了，审判要从神的家起手。若是先从我们起手，那不信从神福音的人将有何等的结局呢？
Now, if an assembly does not take action if there's sin in the assembly, either by self-judgment on our part, God will discipline the assembly.
那如果一个教会呢他自己不对罪采取行动的话呢也这种时候可能是因为他的自义啊那么神就要采取行动来管教了。
You remember when you read about the Lord of the churches walking among the candlesticks in Revelation chapter 2. And there he warned the Ephesian church to repent or he would remove their candlestick. That is their testimony.
大家还记得在启示录的二章里面主自己他行走在这灯台之间他警告以弗所教会的说你们要悔改否则我就要把灯台从你们当中挪去那就是说把他们的见证要挪去。
So, our subject then for the rest of our time is disciplinary action that must be taken by the local assembly if necessary.
所以我们关于这一个真理呢剩下的时间呢我们就来讲就是如果必要的话呢教会必须要采取管教的手段来解决罪的问题。
So, discipline in the assembly, has two purposes.
那么在教会里的管教呢要起到两个目的。
First of all, to expose the sin.
第一个呢是要把罪暴露出来。
And second, to discipline in order to bring about restoration.
那第二个目的呢这个管教的目的是为了重建这个弟兄。
So, the it's very important that the whole object of discipline by the assembly is not to punish the person because of their sin, but to bring disciplinary action so that they might be brought to repentance and restoration.
所以整个这个关于教会管教的这个话题哈，都是在讲不是为了去惩罚这个犯罪的人，而是通过管教呢，希望他能够悔改。
We've got to remember that if one member suffers, then we all suffer. We're part of that one body.
因为我们要始终要记得，我们是都是同属同一个身子，那么一个肢体受苦呢，其他的肢体也同样受苦。
Now there are different kinds of discipline, according to different, actions of sinning saints.
那么针对不同的像圣徒的犯罪的行为呢，有不同的管教。
The first we'll look at is Matthew chapter 18.
我们先看的马太福音的十八章。
Matthew 18, verse 15.
十五节。
And we'll read verses 15 to 17.
我们读十五到十七节，马太的十八章。
Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector.
倘若你的弟兄得罪你，你就去趁着只有他和你在一处的时候，指出他的错来。他若听你，你便得了你的弟兄；他若不听，你就另外带一两个人同去，要凭两三个人的口做见证，句句都可定准。若是不听他们，就告诉教会；若是不听教会，就看他像外邦人和税吏一样。
So the scripture here, the Lord Jesus himself is giving this example.
这里面是主耶稣自己在举这个例子。
And notice the steps that are taken.
我们来看他是怎么采取步骤的。
If a sinner or if a brother sins against you, he says,
他说你倘若你的弟兄得罪你。
Now, oftentimes the way we do it, if someone wrongs us, we wait for them to come to us.
但是我们常做的是，如果一个弟兄得罪了我们，我们总是等着他来找我们。
Notice it's the responsibility of the brother that is wronged to go to the one who has wronged him and seek to get conciliation.
但是你看这里面说的呢，正好相反，是那个被得罪了的人呢，要去找那个得罪他的人，希望和他和好。
The other principle we see here is that this brother doesn't go and tell it to everybody else.
另外一个原则我们在这里看到，这个被得罪的人呢，不是到处去把这件事告诉别的人。
He's to go to him and tell him his fault alone. Just the two of you.
而是只有在他和你在一处的时候，你把他的错指出来。
Us humans, we like to spread around the faults of our brothers and how we've been wronged and we're hurt and we try to gain sympathy of others, but that's not God's way.
但是作为我们人呢，我们总是很倾向于呢到处去讲我受了多少委屈，那个别的弟兄做了多么得罪我的事情，然后希望得到别人的同情，但是这个不是神的方式。
Now notice the attitude of the brother that has been wronged. He says, if the other brother hears you, then you have gained your brother. That's the whole purpose of going to see your brother, is to get him back again.
然后他这里面说，他若听你，你便得了你的弟兄。这就告诉我们，这个被得罪的弟兄去主动去找这个 犯错了的弟兄的全部的目的就是为了要得回他这个弟兄。
But if he doesn't want to hear you, then you should go and take two or three, take with you one or two others.
嗯，然后那是如果他不听呢，你就另外带一两个人同去。
Now, to have, in the mouth of two or three witnesses is an established principle in the, both the Old and the New Testament.
嗯，不管在旧约还是新约呢，都有这样的一个原则，就是凡是两三个，凭两三个人的口做见证，就可以算数，就可以定准。
And so if you take one or two others, there's your two or three witnesses.
嗯，所以你如果带一两个人，那么加上你呢，一共就是两到三个人。
So that now it's not just a matter of your opinion, but the others will be able to substantiate what the truth is.
嗯，所以这个时候呢，就是如果你带了别人去呢，就不仅仅是你个人的观点了，而是他们也需要弄明白这个情形是怎么样的。
So it says that every word may be established then.
嗯，所以才说凭两三个人的口做见证，句句都可定准。
Now, if he refuses to hear the two or three witnesses, then you must take it to the whole church, he says.
嗯，然后十七节他说，如果若是不听这两三个人的见证呢，就要去告诉教会。
Why the whole church?
为什么要告诉全教会呢？
Because it is a reflection of the one body.
因为这也是体现了身子只有一个的这个原则。
And if you only take it to some of the church, there may be some will side with one and some will side with the other, and you could have a division.
嗯，因为如果你只把这件事情讲给就是教会的其中一部分人听呢，那就很可能出现一个情况，就是一部分站在一边，另一部分人站在那一边，就会造成教会的分裂。
And discipline is not meant to divide the church, it's to unify the church. That's why that the whole church should be involved in discipline action.
因为管教的目的不是要分裂教会，而是使教会更加的合一，所以这里面才说要把这件事情带到全教会的面前来。
Now, if this brother fails to listen to the whole church, then he's to be counted just like an unbeliever.
嗯，那如果这个犯罪的弟兄，也不听教会的呢，就要把他看作像不信的人一样。
And that should be a collective action by the whole church.
嗯，而且这个呢，是要全教会，一致采取的行动。
So you can see that it's a very serious thing, is discipline and holiness.In the house of God.
嗯，所以从这里面我们可以看出，管教和圣洁啊，就教会的管教和圣洁都是非常严肃的事情。
Another form of discipline is a warning. Sometimes just a warning is needed.
嗯，另外一种管教的方式呢，就是警告。有的时候呢，可能只需要一点警告。
First Thessalonians again, and chapter 5.
帖在罗尼迦前书的五章。
First Thessalonians chapter 5, I read verses 12 to 14.
我们读12到14节。
And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, he says, we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all.
弟兄们，我们劝你们敬重那在你们中间劳苦的人，就是在主里面治理你们、劝诫你们的，又因他们所做的工，用爱心格外尊重他们。你们也要彼此和睦。我们看十四节，他说：“我们又劝弟兄们要警戒不守规矩的人，勉励灰心的人，扶助软弱的人，也要向众人忍耐。”
Now this this discipline, it's a very mild form of discipline.
这里呢是一种非常柔和的这个管教的方式。
But it is to be used in the case of someone who is unruly, or that is one who refuses to submit to those who are over them in the Lord.
嗯，那这里面讲的是用在那个不守规矩的人。不守规矩的人就是指那些他不愿意顺服在教会里面在他之上掌权的人。
And that context is, the context, of course, is in those two previous verses about those elders or those that are older in the faith who admonish, who correct, and who exhort the believers.
嗯，所以根据上下文呢，它的前面的前提呢，就是前面两节，就是十二、十三节，他一直在讲的是那些教会的长老，是在教那些教会在劳苦做工来劝勉来喂养来管理这些教会的弟兄的人。
So if there is some that will not submit to the admonition of the elders, they are described here as being unruly and they need to be warned.
嗯，那么根据这个上下文呢，就来到了这个这些不愿意顺服这些在上做长老的做教导做造就教会的人的这些不守规矩的人呢，就是要警告他们了。
And then we read of two classes of people that should be avoided.
然后呢，圣经提到有两类人呢需要避免。
Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3.
我们翻到帖撒罗尼迦后书三章。
Verse 10.
从第十节开始。
For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if any man will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. And then verse 14. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed.
But, 我们读 十二节然后再读十四节。他说我们在你们那里的时候曾吩咐你们说若有人不肯做工就不可吃饭。因我们听说在你们中间有人不按规矩而行什么工都不做反倒专管闲事。我们靠主耶稣基督吩咐劝诫这样的人要安静做工吃自己的饭。十四节。若有人不听从我们这信上的话要记下他不和他交往叫他自觉羞愧。
So the disorderly person is one who refuses to work as commanded by the apostle.
嗯，这里面讲的这个不按规矩而行的人呢，就是指不按照这个使徒们所教导的去做工的那些人，不愿意做工的人。
But it says in verse 15, yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother.
嗯，但十五节里面说，但不要以他为仇敌，要劝他如弟兄。
In other words, to avoid someone is not to have close fellowship with him. And that is that you don't want to be partakers of their attitude towards work.
那我们要回避某些人呢是指我们不要和他有着更紧密的这个团契关系免得呢你和他行一样的事。
And so, by removing our close fellowship to them, it might shame them into action.
那我们如果不和这样的人交往呢，就会使他们自觉羞愧。
But you don't account him as an enemy, he says, but admonish him as a brother.
但是同时这里面也说，你不要以他为仇人，而是要劝他如弟兄。
There's another class of persons that should be avoided. We read that in Romans chapter 16.
那么还有一类人呢，也是我们不要和他交往的，那就是罗马书的十六章。
Romans chapter 16 and verse 17.
十七节，十六章十七节。
Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple.
十七十八节，弟兄们，那些离间你们，叫你们跌倒，背乎所学之道的人，我劝你们要留意躲避他们，因为这样的人不服侍我们的主基督，只服侍自己的肚腹，用花言巧语诱惑那些老实人的心。
This is a little more serious.
这种情形呢，有一点严重了。
We don't get the statement as we did in Thessalonians, that we should admonish them but treat them like a brother, not as an enemy.
我们刚才在帖撒罗尼迦后书那里读到的是说，我们还要不能把这些人当作仇敌，要劝他们如弟兄。
And so, that's a little more serious when somebody creates divisions among the people in order to attract a following. That becomes fairly serious.
但这里面说的这种情形就是要离间教会，然后叫你们跌倒，背乎所学之道的这种情况就更严重一些了。
And if it becomes even more serious than that, after being shamed in the sense of avoiding them, then that person might fall into one of the other categories that we'll talk about.
那如果呢对这些人我们先采取躲避他们，不和他们交往，使他们羞愧的这个措施，如果还不行呢，情况变得更严重呢，就是到了我们下一类要讲的这个情形了。
So, Titus chapter 3 and verse 10.
那就是提多书三章十节讲到的了。
Titus chapter 3 and 10 describes, a heretic.
提多书三章十节讲的是分门结党的人。
Verse 10, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned.
十节和十一节，分门结党的人仅借过一两次就要弃绝他，因为知道这等人已经被盗，犯了罪，自己明知不是，还是去做。
So if the man that we read about in Romans 16 is causing divisions, and he continues to do that, then it says here in verse 10, after the first and second admonition, he's given an opportunity to repent for the first time. And if at the second time he does not, then there must be there's more severe discipline.
就刚才我们在罗马书十六章里面讲提到了那些离间你们的人呢，如果他们还继续这样做，而且警告过他们一两次，他们还不改的话呢，那就要进行更严肃的这个管教了。
Now, it's not really clear whether this is the brother is to be put out of fellowship, excommunicated, which we will be looking at in the next case, or whether it is a rejection from other forms of close fellowship. It's not exactly sure. I'm not exactly sure.
但是我不是很确定这里面说的这个就要弃绝他啊，是指完全的把他赶出去，完全的从我们的这个教会的团契关系把他赶出去呢，还是指不跟他有这种更多形式的这个来往呢？我不是很确定。
the important thing is for the church to identify the problem.
嗯，但那教会更重要的事情呢，你要把这样的问题呢，把它给找出来。
And then to search the scriptures and to seek the mind of the Lord, because the Holy Spirit will bring these things to light and will give the local assembly a path to, of action.
嗯，所以这个方法应该是这样，你先要发现问题，然后呢，你要查找圣经，然后再等待这个圣灵的带领，告诉你们当做什么事情。
The head of the church is he's more involved in discipline than we are.
嗯，因为我们教会的头啊，就是基督啊，他比我们更多的介入到这个管教的事情当中来。
Then there's the extreme form of discipline that we probably all have read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5.
那最后一个呢，最极端的管教的这个方式呢，就是我们在哥林多前书的五章里面读到的。
First Corinthians chapter 5, and we all have read this about a man, who had his own father's wife, probably his stepmother.
那就是我们可能很多人都读过啊，我们前面也讲过，就是这个人呢，他娶了他的继母。
And the Corinthians weren't doing anything about it.
但是呢，对这个事情呢，哥林多教会的人却没，哥林多教会却没有采取任何的措施。
They thought they were doing the right thing by covering it over with love.
嗯，他们觉得他们用爱把这个事情给掩盖过去，他们觉得他们这样做是对的。
But Paul says in verse 6, your glorying is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?
嗯。但第六节里面保罗就说你们这样自夸是不好的岂不知一点面酵能使全团发起来吗
So he says in verse 7, therefore purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump.
第七节他说你们既是无酵的面应当把旧酵除尽好使你们成为新团。
So how he deals with this, he gives them instructions.
那保罗呢对这件事情该怎么处理呢给了哥林多教会一些具体的指示。
Verse 11. But now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Therefore, he says, in verse 13, those who are outside the church, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves that evil person.
11节，但如今我写信给你们说，若有称为弟兄的，是行淫乱的，或贪婪的，或拜偶像的，或辱骂的，或醉酒的，或勒索的，这样的人不可与他相交，就是与他吃饭都不可。然后看13节，至于外人，有神审判他们。你们应当把那恶人从你们中间赶出去。
Now that's the most extreme form of church discipline.
那这一种情形呢，就是教会管教里面最严厉、最极端的情形了。
Now, in all these cases of discipline, and there are others in the scripture as well.
在这所有的情况当中啊，包括圣经里面还讲的其他的一些情形。
We should never let ourselves, act upon judgment without two or three witnesses.
我们一定要小心不要在没有两三个人做见证的情况下呢就做出判断。
That's very important.
这个非常非常重要。
We should never act upon the testimony of one person, no matter how reliable they may be.
我们绝不能依靠一个人的见证，不管这个人的见证，看上去有多么的可信赖。
And then we must be very careful to examine all the facts.
然后我们要特别小心的去仔细的调查所有的事实。
Moses gave some wise instructions on searching out the truth concerning idolaters in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 14.
在申命记的十三章的十四节里面呢，这里面摩西给出了一些具体的指导啊，就是怎么样发现这个奸淫的罪的一些情形的具体的事实的。
Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 14.
申命记的十三章十四节。
If there's a report of witchcraft or sorcery, then he says in verse 14, then you shall inquire, you shall search out, and you shall ask diligently. And if indeed it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination has been committed among you, and so on, then discipline would be taken on the sinners.
十四节啊，你如果前面的背景是说，如果你听到一些犯罪的事情，十四节你就要探听查究，细细的访问，果然是真，准有这可恶的事可憎恶的事情在你们中间。然后十五节就是说，你就要必要用刀杀了城，就是后面就执行着审判或者说是管教的措施了。
So the steps to take in applying discipline in the assembly are threefold.
所以在教会里实施管教呢，有这样三层。
First of all, there must be two or three witnesses.
首先第一个呢，就是必须有两三个见证人。
So that every word might be established.
凡是凭两三个人的口做见证，句句都要定准。
And so that the truth might be out.
那这样的话呢，这个真相就会大白。
Not only that, but then a very careful examination of all the facts must be carried out.
除此之外呢，还要特别仔细的去查究、探听、查考这所有的事实。
And the person themselves must be able to answer.
然后这个当事人自己呢，要必须去询问他，他要回答。
And the third thing is that if the offender is unrepentant, then discipline must be carried out.
然后第三层呢，就是如果这个犯罪的人他不悔改，那必须就采取管教的措施了。
And remember that the person or the repentance of the offender and the restoration of that one in back into the assembly is the objective of discipline.
因为我们要记得我们这个管教的这个目的啊，就是为了使这犯罪的弟兄悔改，并且把他重新挽回到，重新得回他到我们的教会当中来。
It's similar to a body that is sick, and sometimes there may be surgery that is needed.
那就好比我们的身体啊，如果有一个部分或一个器官它生病了，有的时候甚至要动手术。
And so maybe a tumor needs to be removed.
也可能是一个肿瘤呢，需要被割掉。
But the whole organ, should not be removed just if it's not necessary.
而且如果在不必要的情况下呢，不能把整个器官都给它清除掉。
So in a sense, you could think of discipline in the assembly as being like surgery. It's cutting out the evil, but saving the body.
所以某种意义上说呢，我们可以把这个教会的管教呢看作是一个手术，我们把这个邪恶的部分切除掉，但是把这个好的部分留下来。
Now, another aspect of this subject, is that the manner in which discipline is carried out.
然后关于这个话题另外一个方面呢，就是这个管教应该具体怎么实行。
Galatians chapter 6 verse 1.
加拉太书的六章一节。
Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass or a fault, of some sin. You who are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted.
弟兄们，若有人偶然被过犯所胜，你们属灵的人就当用温柔的心把他挽回过来，又当自己小心，恐怕也被引诱。
So, discipline should not be carried out by the young Christian or immature Christian.
嗯，所以教会的管教呢，不应该由年轻的信徒或者说属灵上还不成熟的信徒来执行。
That is done by the spiritual ones. They should take the initiative.
嗯，而是应该让这个属灵的人来操作。
And it's done in a spirit of meekness.
嗯，而且是要用温柔的心来做这件事情。
Considering our own weakness.
嗯，因为他也要想到自己的软弱。
Now the second thing that we should look at, the manner in which this discipline is carried out, it needs to be completely impartial.
嗯，另外一个我们在管教的时候所要采取的态度呢，就是要完全的一视同仁。
It shouldn't matter if it's one of our relatives, maybe a son or a daughter even.
Mm.
That should not influence our decision in the matter.
那即使这个被管教的人是我们的亲戚，甚至是我们的儿女，也不应该影响到我们的决定。
God is no respecter of persons, and neither should we be.
因为神不偏待人，我们也不应该偏待人。
Now, in the case of excommunication, we should reiterate, we should say again, that it should be the action of the entire assembly.
嗯，那讲到就是把这个人赶出去这件事情啊，我们要再强调，它一定是个全教会一起一致的行动。
Second Corinthians and chapter 2.
我们再看那个哥林多后书的二章。
2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse
6. 第六节。
You recall in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was a man that was excommunicated.
嗯，我们还记得在哥林多前书五章呢，有这样一个犯罪的人被赶出教会了。
Now, sometime later, Paul is writing again to the Corinthians.
嗯，然后第一封信哥林多前书写完之后一段时间呢，保罗又写了第二封书信给哥林多。
And it would seem that the man that had been excommunicated had been put out of the assembly had repented.
嗯，然后从这封信呢，我们可以看出啊，好像这个被赶出教会的人呢，他已经悔改了。
But they seem to have been reluctant to bring him back into the assembly.
嗯，但是呢，现在的情形呢，就是这教会的人呢，好像有点不太愿意把他再接纳回来了。
So he says in verse 6 of chapter 2.
然后二章六节。
This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man. So that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest such an one be swallowed up with too much sorrow.
这样的人受了众人的责罚也就够了，倒不如赦免他，安慰他，免得他忧愁太过，甚至沉沦了。
And then he goes on to say that, that they as an assembly they should forgive him.
嗯，然后他接着说呢，作为整个教会呢，你们要赦免他，要原谅他。
Finally, we don't need to emphasize that Christians should not broadcast or spread the news of the sin in the assembly.
嗯，另外呢，我们也不需要强调，大家也知道，就是我们作为基督徒啊，我们不应该到处去传，就是传话，去传播这个罪的，关于这个罪的事情。
This is a family matter. It's not a public matter.
因为这是我们家里的事情，而不是一个公开的事情。
It's a very serious and solemn thing to carry out discipline in the assembly.
嗯，因为在教会执行管教啊，是一件非常严肃，也是非常庄重的一件事情。
There may be many tears, much waiting on the Lord.
嗯，也可能我们需要含着眼泪在主的面前切切的祷告，等候他的带领。
Remember the picture in the Old Testament of Noah, that grand patriarch.
嗯。我们可能还记得在旧约里面那个挪亚就是我们的伟大的这个先祖。
How he lay naked in his tent and he was dishonored in front of his son.
嗯，然后他在他的帐篷里面赤身露体，在他的儿子的面前赤身露体。
And Canaan did the awful thing of calling his brothers to see this dishonorable sight.
嗯，那他那个韩这个儿子呢就做了不太好的不快光彩的事，他让他的两个弟兄弟一起来看。
He spread abroad the sin of his father.
实际上他就是在扩大啊，就是在广播他父亲的这个罪。
But what did the brothers Shem and Japheth do? They took a blanket and walked backwards in and covered the nakedness of their father.
然后你看他的两个哥哥闪和雅弗是怎么做的呢？他们拿了一个毯子，倒退着进到帐篷里面，把他的父亲的身体盖上。
And so there's a sense in which the assembly, although they need to take action, if action is needed, they also need to keep it close to home.
嗯，那也就是说，在教会里面，即使必须要采取一些管教的措施的话，我们也要把这个仅仅限定在我们教会这一家人里面。
And it's only as the assembly takes real action when sin is discovered that it can hope to maintain its true character as a miniature temple of God.
Amen.
嗯，那只有当我们教会啊采取了对罪的正确的态度和处理的方法了以后呢，我们才能够见证我们是神的殿这样的一个事实真理。
And we might add here that the New Testament assumes that every believer is attached to some local church.
嗯，然后因为新约教会呢是假设每一个信徒呢，他都是和某一个地方教会连接的。
If they're not attached to a local church, then they are free from being disciplined in the assembly.
因为如果他不属于任何一个地方教会呢，那他就不会受到这个教会的地方教会的管教了。
And that freedom of isolation can cause a great deal of danger to the individual soul.
但是这样免除这个管教的这种所谓的自由啊，就是与教会分离的这样的一个免除管教的自由，其实是非常的危险的。
We need each other, brothers and sisters.
嗯，亲爱的弟兄姐妹们，我们是彼此互相需要的。
Next week we'll look at some more topics on this subject, but I'm going to turn the rest of our time to our brother Harold. He's got some concluding comments and some thoughts.From the Word of God for us.
我们下个礼拜呢再继续讲下一个真理。那我们剩下的时间呢，我们交给 Harold， 他应该会有一些总结的和归纳的观点要跟大家分享。
Thank you, Eric. This particular topic this evening is a very difficult one.
今天晚上我们讲的这个话题呢，其实是。非常难的一件事。
Every family, is left very uncomfortable when one of the children requires serious discipline.
因为任何一个家里，如果一个孩子他需要面对这个非常严肃的管教的时候呢，全家的人其实都不舒服。
The same thing is true in a school. The same thing is true in a city.And in a government, people by and large do not like to have to exercise discipline.
嗯， 在学校里也是这样的，在一个城市里也是这样的，在政府里面也是这样的，所以人们呢，天然的呢，就是不愿意去做这个管教的事情。
And the book of Proverbs deals with, the whole question of discipline, especially family discipline, and points out the wisdom, the how-to, and the importance of discipline.
那箴言里面呢有很多关于管教，特别是在家里的这个管教的真理，就是一些原则该怎么做。
And so you get a verse that says, spare the rod and spoil the child.
所以你可能会读到一些经文，就是说不杖打儿子的是会就是溺爱他。
But for parents, it's very difficult to know when to discipline and when to overlook.
但作为父母呢，你有的时候很难知道什么时候该管教，有什么时候呢就去放过他。
But a child left to himself brings his mother shame.
但是呢，一个不被管教的孩子呢，就使他的母亲蒙羞。
And the same thing is true in the assembly of the people of God.
那同样的，这样是对这个神的教会也是一样的。
So Eric, made one line that caught my attention early in his presentation. He basically said this. He said, all these details are not precisely laid out. They're going to have to be prayerfully and carefully considered in the light of the specific problem before us.
刚才呢 ,Eric 讲的有一点呢是引起我的注意，我也想强调的，就是他刚才讲的这些不同的管教的情形其实并不是区分的那么清楚的，所以需要我们特别仔细的去判断，也需要有很多的祷告去分清楚这种情形。
It is usual that we err on one side or the other. We either exercise too much discipline or not enough.
那通常呢我们总是走在两个极端里面，要不然呢就管教的太多，要不然就管教的太少，就是总是犯两边的错误都犯。
And both would be very, very wrong.
但这两种错误呢都是不对的。
So I want to consider with you some truth from 1 Timothy chapter 5.
那我想给大家讲一点关于提摩太前书五章的里面的一些真理。
Timothy was in the city of Ephesus. He'd been sent there by the Apostle Paul. And he had a responsibility to oversee the work of God there in a very gracious way.
那提摩太呢是被保罗派到以弗所教会，到那里去做教导和管理的，然后他用了非常这个有恩典的方式对待他们。
He wasn't sent there to do all the preaching, which would be pretty easy.
那保罗不只是派他到那里去讲道的，那如果光讲道是很容易的。
He was sent there to train the preachers to make sure they preach the right thing.
而是他被派去呢，是要去训练那些将来要讲道的人的，以使他们以后可以自己讲道。
And so he outlines for, Paul outlines for Timothy responsibilities that Timothy should have in the assembly, how the assembly should work.
所以呢保罗呢就在这封书信里面呢告诉提摩太应该怎么样去运作一个教会。
But in chapter 5, he deals with, a number of subjects, really the elderly, the elders in the assembly, the overseers in the assembly, and the widows in the assembly.
然后第五章呢他主要讲了对长老和这个寡妇的一些交代的一些事。
My friend said to me the other day regarding his own children, it was far easier to discipline them when they were little children than it was when they grew up and they were parents themselves.
我一个朋友前两天来跟我说起他孩子的事情啊，他说当孩子小的时候是很容易管教的呢，他们大了，特别是当他们自己都是父母的话，那就很难管教了。
And the situation that Timothy had was that he had to discipline the elders. Hard to discipline children, harder to discipline adults, but how do you discipline someone who's your own elder?
那在这里面呢，提摩太需要面对的问题是去管教长老，管教孩子就不容易了，管教成人就更难了。那管教一个在教会做长老的，那岂不是难上加难吗？
And so a few principles in this conundrum now. First of all, chapter 5, verse 1.
那这里面呢就列出了一些原则，看第一节。
And it says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father.
这里的长老可能是指老年人呢，他说不可严责老年人，只要劝他如同父亲。
And, treat the younger men as brothers. If you've got to discipline them, treat them as your brother. Don't pretend that you're the boss and they've done it wrong. You just treat them as a brother.
然后他接着说劝少年人如同弟兄，就是对少年人呢，你要如果要管教他，你要把他当成弟兄对待，不是说把你自己当成老板。
Treat the elder women as mothers and treat the sisters with all purity.
然后第二节劝老年妇女如同母亲，劝少年妇女如同姐妹，总要清清洁洁的。
Now carrying that theme on at the end of the chapter, you get verse 18.It says, against an elder, do not receive an accusation, but before two or three witnesses.
然后他这一章都在讲这个 主题，然后到往后看十九节，他说控告长老的橙子，非有两三个见证就不要收。
And Eric has pointed out very clearly that two or three witnesses must be there to substantiate a problem that has got to be dealt with.
所以刚才 Eric 长老也特别强调了，一定有两三个见证人，他们共同的描述一个事实才可以。
Then he says in verse 20, them that sin rebuke before all that others may fear.
然后第二十节里面说犯罪的人当在众人面前责备他，叫其余的人也可以惧怕。
So the subject of discipline in scripture is very, very often in this context. You rebuke, you take action in order that others may hear and fear and serve the Lord.
在圣经里面凡是讲到教会的管教这个话题的时候呢，它上下文里面都会强调就是你的管教呢都是要使众人知道，使众人惧怕，以使他们能够更好的服侍神。
All right, so that's basically some instructions on how it's done.
所以这讲了一些基本的管教的时候一些具体的指引。
All right, now one of the first reactions to all this is to say,well, I'm not really sure it's my responsibility. I don't think I'll deal with it today. And maybe I'll have to pray about it more. And the first reaction is, don't do anything about it.
那么我们讲了这么多关于教会的管教的真理以后呢，我们人的第一个反应就是我什么都不做，我觉得这不是我的责任，或者说我现在不做，我再多去祷告一会儿。
Okay, and so verse 21, Paul says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus and the elect angels that thou observe these things.
21节他就说，我在神和基督耶稣并蒙拣选的天使面前嘱咐你，要遵守这些话。
Is it important?
这很重要吗？
If there's a problem, must it be dealt with?
如果出了问题是不是要马上解决呢？
And the answer is yes.
答案是的。
And the reasons are several. Number one, because God expects it.
有几个理由啊，为什么一定要马上做？一个就是神是期望我们这样做。
Number two, because the angels are watching.
第二个原因是天使在看着。
Does that matter?
这很重要吗？
Yeah, one day we're going to be judging the angels.
是的，很重要，因为有一天我们要审判天使。
So, how are we going to do that? How are we going to judge the angels if we can't judge things in our own families or in our own assembly?
如果我们连自己家里的事或者我们连自己教会的事都不能很好的判断处理的话，我们怎么能去审判天使呢？
So we've got to deal with these issues, but the end of the verse says, not preferring one another or doing nothing by partiality. And Eric has mentioned, we have got to deal very, very fairly with this situation. We cannot say, oh, well, easy on him, hard on the other person.
所以呢我们是要认真对待这些事情，而且在这节经文的后半段他说不可存成见，行事也不可有偏心。所以 Eric 刚才也强调了，我们做这个管教的时候要特别的公平，不能轻这个重那个。
So verse 22 has a very interesting, verse 22 or 23.
接下去的22和23节呢是很有趣的经文。You're muted, Harold.
I became muted. All right.
Yeah. Could you repeat your sentence before?
Where do I go back now?
Verse 22 and 23.
All right. Let's read 22. Lay hands suddenly.
You're muted again.
You're muted again.
Eyeball. And, my Bible touches my keyboard and my keyboard does funny things.
You
do not have to translate all that.
Okay.
All right. Let me read the verse again. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of another man's sins. Keep thyself pure.
22节，给人行按手的礼不可急促，不要在别人的罪上有份，要保守自己清洁。
Three instructions regarding discipline in the assembly that are most important. Number one, don't proceed too fast.
所以这里面讲到教会管教的这个事情上呢，有三个事情非常重要。第一个呢，就是不要太急促。
If you do proceed too fast,You will end up causing offense, and there could be division in the assembly. Lots of problems could arise. Don't go too fast. Make sure that you have the mind of the Lord.
所以你不要太着急。如果你做的比较仓促的话呢，你可能自己就会犯错，然后也会造成教会的分裂以及其他各种的问题。所以你要有按照神的心意去做，不要着急。
Number two, don't go too slowly.
第二个呢，就是也不要太慢。
If you go too slowly, you will end up being a partaker of their sins.
因为如果你做得太慢了的话呢，最后你就变成在他们的罪上有份了。
Okay, the logic is very simple. So-and-so did something that was wrong. He should be dealt with.
那逻辑是这样很清楚，如果有一个人做了错事呢，我们必须要处理。
If you don't deal with it, then you become an encourager or a partaker of their sin because you didn't say it was wrong.
但是如果你不处理呢，你就变成了鼓励他这样做的人，或者说你在他的罪上有份了，因为你没有说他这样做不对。
So it's one thing for somebody to do something that's wrong in the assembly, and we've talked much about that this evening. One thing for them to do it, another thing for you to be guilty of the same thing if you didn't deal with it.
Sorry, Harold, I didn't get your point.
All right. If a sin is effected, and that sin is not dealt with by the person responsible. Then the person responsible becomes guilty of the same sin. He's a partaker of the sin that he did not deal with.
就是如果有一个罪已经影响到教会了，然后负责的人呢没有去对这个罪有回应，做合理的措施，那他就是与这个罪有份了，因为他没有执行他的责任。
So that puts us in a very difficult situation.
那这就会使我们处在一个非常难的处境里。
I don't want to deal with someone else's problem.
因为我不想去管别人的这个麻烦，别人的错误。
But if I don't deal with it, then their guilt comes to me. And because I didn't deal with it, I am guilty in part of the same sin.
但是我虽然不愿意我也做，为什么呢？因为如果我不去尽我的责任去处理的话呢，那我就在他们的罪上有份，我也变得和他们一样有罪了。
So Paul says, Timothy, you just go right ahead and solve these problems.
所以保罗就对提摩太说，你得往前去开始去解决这些问题。
Timothy has to acknowledge that it's going to be very, very difficult, but I will try to do it God's way.
所以提摩太虽然知道这些事情很难办，但是呢，他说我还是要去按照神的方式去做。
Okay, so, we've all seen it in families. So mommy doesn't deal with the problem. Daddy doesn't deal with the problem. Johnny keeps on his evil way.
我们在家里常看到这种情况，如果小孩子做了错事，爸爸妈妈都不去批评管教他的话呢，那他就继续做他这个不好的事情。
And we've all seen the other problem where the fathers provoke the children to wrath by their strong, unyielding, misunderstanding spirit.
那刚才说的这个不管教呢，忽视是一个方面，另外一个方面呢，我们也看到父亲呢就是严厉的就是叫惹孩子的气啊，这也不对，因为他是用了不对的心去做这个事。
So how are you going to deal with it? We're going to pray much.
那我们应该到底怎么办呢？我们应该多多的祷告。
We read the word of God thoroughly on the subject to make sure we have the mind of God.
然后我们要仔细的查考神的话，使我们能够按照神的心意去做。
And then we go about doing God's work of discipline and correction in God's way. God's work must be done God's way.
然后我们要按照神的方式来去处理这个管教的事情，因为神的工作必须要按照神的方式去做。
All right, well, the time is that the clock moves faster than we do, and we apologize for that.
时间过得很快啊，我已经有超时了，我们道歉。
These matters are very important. The church, you'll remember, is the household of God. It's the pillar of the truth. It's the foundation of the truth. We must run the church God's way.
因为我们要记得教会要是真理的柱石，真理的根基，也是神的家，所以我们必须要在这里面表明它的真理。
All right, well, Mr. Peterson, that's all I've got for time tonight, so that's all I've got.
Harold 就讲这些。
Well, let's commend ourselves this evening to the word, to the Lord as we part.
好，我们做个结束的祷告。
Father, we thank you for the church. It's our home here on earth.
主啊，我们为教会感谢你，因为这是我们在地上的家。
And Lord, some of us are old and some of us are young.
我们有些年老，有些年轻。
But Lord, as we would fulfill our roles in the church of God, help us, Lord, each one to glorify you.
主啊，当我们每个人都履行我们在这个教会的中的职责，扮演我们该有的角色的时候，主啊，求您帮助我们每一个人。
And the Lord, each one of us might show fervent love to our brothers and sisters.
Amen.
愿我们每一个人都向我们的弟兄姐妹显出真诚的信心，真诚的爱心。
And so, Father, we pray to part us with your blessing tonight.
嗯，主啊，我们祈求您的祝福。
Strengthen our hearts in the days that lie ahead.
嗯，在未来的日子里面，坚固我们的心。
And we look to you.Our glorious risen head.
我们仰望你，您是我们那荣耀的复活的头。
And we thank you for so great a salvation.
Amen.
我们为这如此伟大的救恩感谢你。
We thank you in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
我们奉主耶稣基督配得的名祷告，感谢。
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, amen.